Welcome to Women Today, a magazine program designed to encourage and equip women today for a better tomorrow together. Hi there, my name is Larice Faree and I serve as a presenter at Good News Community Radio in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. I believe that we do life and faith better together. So today I'm excited to introduce Shelley Waters, a former student and graduate of the Explore Correspondence course provided by the George Whitefield College, to share on the transformative power of God's Word. Shelley, could you just introduce yourself to us, give us a bit about your background, and then especially as it relates to our conversation this morning?
Yes, well, I've been a Christian for many years, and in fact, I made a commitment to the Lord at the age of 12, and my family always supported me. In fact, most of my family came to know the Lord at that time as well, so it was a very supportive area to be a part of, coming to know the Lord in a very personal way. I was baptized into the Anglican Church, but as I said, came to know the Lord in a more personal way, intimate way, accepting Him into my life as Lord and Savior at the age of 12. And I was very close to the Lord, have been close to the Lord. He's always been my anchor. But as you know, a little leaven leavens the lump. And when we start in the work arena and study arena, we tend to be influenced by our surroundings, our friends, and with those whom we interact with. And so certainly I can see, looking back now, although I believed I was a practicing Christian, I had never less slipped into the world's way in many of my practices. So I would say that where the scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being, I wouldn't say that was true in my life for some years. And the Lord revealed that to me when I came to study the Explore, because by studying the Explore, I was immersed in the Word of God. And when you're immersed in the Word of God, you're actually confronted by your Christian walk and your lifestyle. And it was a shock, really, because I was confronted by the fact that I was a practicing Christian, inverted commas. I wasn't really involved in an intimate relationship with my Savior. I wouldn't say I was our temple of the Holy Spirit as God has purposed for the saints. Although I was clothed in His righteousness, I wasn't fully living out the Christian walk as God has purposed in the Word. And that walk is a walk of holiness, and it's a walk that is looking to Christ on a daily basis, not just now and again and when one feels like it, because then that's, you know, the old adage, one step in the world and one step in the Word. Mm-hmm. That's not what God desires from His creatures.
Well, it's so interesting that it was specifically through Explore that the Lord started opening your eyes to what was maybe some lukewarmness in your life, in your relationship to Him. So could you explain to the listeners, what is Explore? Where did it begin, and sort of what is involved in Explore?
I was involved in working abroad on cruise ships for a number of years. And when I returned, I wanted to seek the Lord more fervently. And that's what God does. He puts the desire in one's heart, and that's God's grace. And I came to Christchurch Umhlanga. And at the time, which was at the beginning of 2018, Christchurch Umhlanga was offering a correspondence course through George Whitefield College, whereby you could study the Word. And as I said, it was available for all those who had a desire to be in the Word, to study the Word, but through correspondence, so not full time. And it is an 8-module course. The modules are as follows: explore the Bible, the life of Jesus, the work of the apostles, the world's creator, the books of Moses, the prophets, salvation, and the Christian life, focusing on Ephesians. So those were the 8 modules that were presented to us as part of the George Whitfield Correspondence course. And the course would be complete in about 2 years or so. So that's the broad outline of the course, offering you a chance to delve into the Word of God and also get together with other members or participants who have signed up to this course. There's also a certification involved. So at the end of each module, you write an exam. That is not compulsory, of course. You have the option. But I wanted to do so. I wanted to have the accreditation. I wanted to have the certification because my mom had actually studied a Bible course, and I know she had derived a lot of benefit from it. And to me, I wanted to study and to do the exams because in my life anyway, when I write an exam, it makes me prepare a lot better than just studying something and not having the exam, as it were, at the end of that study period. So I was focused on studying the Word of God and preparing for the exams and to complete the modules and to have that certification at the end of the whole 8-module course.
Mm. So, Shelley, you've spoken about how it confronted you with your Christian lifestyle. What exactly is it about the Explore course that calls you to reevaluate yourself? What aspect of it would you say made the biggest impact?
I think that, you know, we sin because of our lack of knowledge of God. I wasn't in the Word daily. I wasn't seeking the Lord in my everyday decisions. I wasn't really coming to the Lord in prayer on a daily basis and seeking Him diligently and kind of knocking at the door as I did. I'm following the Explore, and during the Explore, I wanted to know the Lord in a real way, in a intimate way that God has purposed for all His saints, for all believers. And I had been, you know, I was a believer, as I said, a Christian for many years, but I didn't have that intimate relationship with the Lord whereby I could actively seek Him, find Him. He would respond to me. He always has His ear and His eyes, as it were, open to my requests and prayers in a real way rather than a distant way. And that's what the Explore course actually gave me. It gave me the opportunity to come to know my Lord in a really deeper, intimate way as God has purposed for His saints. But as I said, at the beginning of the course there, I thought I was a Christian, but I was actually living in a way in sin. You know, all those things that the world offers, whereby we look to the creature rather than the creator, and we look for all our earthly comforts, and we don't focus on eternity. God wants us to focus on eternity. He doesn't want us to look through the short lens of the here and now. You know, what He wants us to do is, as the expression goes, look through the long lens of eternity and see our lives here as just a stepping stone to being with our Creator throughout eternity. And this is what the Explore course gave me. It gave me a different perspective. Mm. I was kind of living this Christian life, which was very much focused on the here and now. And while we derive many blessings from what God has given to us in the here and now, it is never meant to be the end goal. You know, the end goal is our relationship with the Lord through eternity. And that's the perspective that the Lord gave me. He gave me a new perspective. And it kind of confronted me with my present perspective, my old perspective, worldly, living in the now, focusing on, you know, as were the broken systems, focusing on what the world offers rather than what God is offering, which is just far better and far greater and far more fulfilling in every way. Mm.
Shelley, I love your answer because I can really hear it's about a relationship with God as opposed to merely collecting knowledge or information. Because I do feel that there is a danger whenever we come to study God's word, that we will either end up studying it as a mere textbook, or we will study it relationally as we understand it to be God's word to each of us. And I also appreciate that verse that you touched on, the idea of broken cisterns, being that God spoke to his people Israel and confronted them with the reality that they had forsaken him, their fountain of living waters, and had instead hewn for themselves these broken cisterns that could hold no water. So it really is what I'm hearing from you, that difference between being trying to be satisfied in the world and realizing that God is ultimately the one who can satisfy every desire of the heart.
Amen to that, Larice. And the Explore course actually gives you these pictures. You know, we study the first of all, the first module is the Bible. We actually cover the whole Bible. And you've shown all these pictures of the Israelites and, of course, how they were in bondage and slavery in Egypt and how the Lord so graciously liberated them. But they continued to grumble. And therefore, their time in the wilderness ended up being, as we know, 40 years rather than just a very short period until they reached the promised land. But this was all within God's purposes, as we know, because he needed to refine them. He needed to prepare them. We know not all reached the promised land, but we're given these wonderful pictures, and these pictures are for our relevance. They're for our walk today. You know, our walk is trying. It is grievous. It is. We are tempted to grumble at every corner. We aren't given that picture of the end product. We're given our daily manna as the Israelites were given in the daily bread that the Lord provides. But we do need to live by faith and not by sight. And all these pictures that are given to us via the Old Testament are pictures of our walk with the Lord and our salvation through Christ. And we know that Jesus, of course, was the spotless lamb, and that all, you know, everything was culminated in Jesus coming and saving his people from their sins. And not only the Israelites, but of course of all nations, as we know, the promise was given, that was given to Abraham included all nations. So the Explore course delves into the Bible, the whole Bible, and it provides the believer with real images, real pictures, a real blueprint for your life. And these aren't fables and legends. This is the word of God. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and stands true for all believers today and all believers in the future.
Mm. What I'm also hearing is especially your emphasis on the fact that you did commit your life to Christ when you were 12 years old, but that there was this stretch of time in which, even though you mentally assented to the truths of the word, there was a lack in your experience in walking with God. But still, as you yourself bring up this picture of the wilderness, God never wastes anything, you know. So even the time that you were not walking as intimately with him, I'm sure he was building into your life. But it is a stark contrast when we consider a religion versus a relationship. Because as you yourself experienced, you can walk through life believing that you are having the Christian experience, when in fact it's only the external trappings. And here through Explore, you came to find that actually this relationship with Christ was the substance that was, you know, missing to just the trappings.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the final module, Explore the Christian Life and focusing on the book of Ephesians, Paul says, I wish that you would be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So what it really is, a renewal of in the spirit of our minds. It's our minds being renewed when we study the scripture. So it's very much a mind thing. It's not an emotional thing. Mm. I think a lot of the time, maybe we go to church and maybe after, you know, in the past, it becomes an emotional experience. But you know, our love for Christ is an emotional experience, but it is based on the mind. The Lord has given us a mind so that we can come to know him better. And we have the word of God to know him better. You know, that hasn't been veiled. The scriptures aren't veiled to believers. Christ has shone a light on them through the power of the Holy Spirit, which lives in the lives of the saints. So, as you say, it's very much a renewed mind that the Lord gives us through being in the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives and works in us according to the will of the Father. And you are right when you said, you know, even during that experience, as it were, the wilderness experience, you know, we know in Romans 8:28, which just happens to be my favorite scripture because it's my birth date, is, and we know all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work to our good, the good, the bad, the things that are veiled, the things that are mysterious, because God is working out a plan. As he worked out the plan for the Israelites, he's working a plan for all believers. We've been predestined, called, justified, and glorified, and that is the plan, and it's just wonderful. There are no ifs, ands, buts, and pans, as they say. It's very purposeful. It's very purposeful, and it's wonderful. So there's no doubt he has sealed us by the Holy Spirit, and all those he has called, he will glorify. So it's just wonderful.
And it's true when we consider the verse in Romans of God working all things together for our good, that it also helps us to have that perspective that as Christians, even the suffering that we go through, you know, when we experience emotional suffering, for example, you especially can feel suffering. That your prayers are.
Yeah, especially suffering. You know, especially suffering brings you through. People look and say, oh, that person's having a difficult time in whatever reason. But, you know, what child doesn't a father chastise? You know, you are chastised. A loving father will chastise a child. And that's what the Lord does. He rebukes those whom he loves. We must never forget that scripture.
And it just helps us to know that when we are experiencing those negative emotions, as you mentioned, it's not a walk that's led by emotions. It's a walk that's led and founded on truth. But what I have found also is that luckily the emotions follow the truth. You know, as you immerse yourself in the Word of God, as you immerse yourself in the reality of his character, of who he is, the faith and the love that we feel towards him are those responses to what we see in the Word of God. Sherry, I wanted to ask, what was the difference in your engagement with God's Word before and after Explore? And why do you think you are experiencing more of God through his Word after having gone through this correspondence course?
Because the eyes of my heart were opened. And that's what Paul prays in Ephesians in the final module, that the eyes of your heart will be opened. You know, if we come to the Lord with a stony heart, we're not pliable, we're not moldable. The Lord can't mold us. He is a supreme potter, and he can only mold a heart that is soft and is malleable. And that's what the Lord does. He changes our hearts. And he opens the eyes of our hearts so that we can see our sin. We're confronted by our sin. We see our sin and we repent of it. And we come to the Lord with a repentant spirit. And this is God's way. It's not the world's way. You know, the world wants to lift you up and say you're wonderful and this and that. And you're greater and you're better and live your best life now. But guess what? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. I mean, if you think of Matthew 5 and if you think of the Beatitudes, I mean, this is from Jesus himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the humble. Blessed are those who mourn. So those who come to the Lord with a repentant heart. Blessed are the meek. So again, you know, we're told to be, as it were, bold and courageous and all the rest of it. But God gives us a very different picture. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. You know, isn't the saying now, kick the dead dog down, you know, kick the dog till he's dead. You know, if you think of it, we're just living in a world that just has a totally different vantage point of life. Mm. And no wonder there's no happiness and no fulfillment and no satisfaction and no joy, you know, real joy. I'm not talking about little joys, you know, momentary joys. I'm talking about real lasting joy that is joyful over the good times and the bad times, that sees the bad times with an eternal perspective and knows that we have a God who is looking after us. He's keeping us. He's kept us for eternity. And he will lead us through the shadow, lead that into righteousness. I mean, Psalm 23, lead us through the valley and the shadow of death, you know, the shadow, that wonderful psalm. He's with us. He doesn't let us go. He is our good shepherd, and the good shepherd looks after his sheep. He doesn't let them go astray. And when they do go astray, well, then he brings them and he reins them in. And that's typically by discipline, but it's for our own good. And it reaps a harvest of righteousness and an imperishable reward, not perishable rewards, which is what the world offers. So it's just a very different system. That's what the Lord showed me. It's a very different, as it were, book of values or blueprint than what the world offers. Mm. I don't know if I've actually quite answered your question.
It's very interesting when you mention the first or most important aspect about your engagement with God's word that changed was the fact that he actually opened your eyes. Because I think that we often want to run to a method, you know, when it comes to studying God's word. We want to run to what are the 5 steps for me to thoroughly study and understand this passage. But you highlighted it so beautifully, because the fact is that the first step, the most important step, without which you will not be able to grasp and comprehend the truths of God's word, is actually that he needs to come and open your eyes to his word.
Absolutely. It's only by grace. You know, he loved us first. And in the Psalms, I was just thinking about the Psalms of Psalm 23. Well, Psalm 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I feel that the Lord has put me through his Bible school, through studying Explore. You know that Paul opened a Bible school in Ephesians. It was a Bible school where he taught. And I almost feel like when I studied the Explore, it was like being in Paul's Bible school there in Ephesus. It is an instruction, and it's important that we have the time, we have the ears to be instructed by God, to be instructed in his ways and to seek him. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think too often we're so busy seeking everything that the world offers, and all things and degrees and this and the rest of it, and lifestyles and living your best life now and all the rest of it. Not that those aren't bad things. You know, as mentioned, I lived a life on cruise ships for 12 years, which was a hedonistic lifestyle, and they're all beautiful things and wonderful people you meet and beautiful places you go, but these are pictures of, they're not the real thing. Mm. You know, the Lord gives us, as it were, pictures of, we're not meant to worship the creature, there we go, to say it in a better way. We're meant to worship the creator. And I think this is the perspective as well that the Lord changed. He changed, well, it all goes back to, and the eyes of your heart be opened, really. Because our whole perspective changes when you come to know the Lord in a real way, in a transforming way, where God is indeed the center of your life rather than the self, the here, the now, and the worldliness of what is offered. Mm.
So, Shelley, when did you actually complete the Explore course?
I completed it in 2020. It's usually a 2-year course. That depends. It's very flexible. I'm actually facilitating a group of students at the moment. So it's very exciting to be a part of this group in which I'm facilitating. And they've just written their first exam on the Bible, so Module 1. And now we are studying Module 2, which is the life of Jesus. So I completed my course in 2020. I have a certification. I wrote all the exams. And, and as I said, at the moment I'm facilitating a group, and they're really enjoying the course. Everybody loves it because, like me, they're delving deeper into the Word and gaining the knowledge of what it means to be a Christian and to follow Christ and to live the Christian life rather than just hear about it or read about it, to actually live the Christian life. So it's very exciting to be a part of this group of students at the moment.
And practically, what does that look like for you to facilitate and for the group to be doing the course?
Oh, it's wonderful. Practically, it's wonderful because it means that we are indeed putting those skills, you know, we kind of putting them into practice, as it were. And it again makes me think of Ephesians 2:10. We are Christ's workmanship. We've been created by Christ for good works, and that he has purposed even before the foundation of the world. And the good works extend to a number of different things. And I just feel that God has made that avenue available to me, and it's just such a blessing to be able to be a part of this group as they study God's word, and I'm able to draw from my experiences. Because following the Explore 2020, as I said, the eyes of my heart were opened, and I wanted to just seek the Lord so much more daily, every day. And we learn greatly from when we seek and gain greater knowledge, and we have a greater understanding of God's purposes. So I'm able to translate that to the group and relate with the group. And it's wonderful actually to be a part of a group whereby you meet together. We meet twice a month. So we discuss the word, what we've learned, what we've gained from that particular unit. And then it's an interactive experience. So it's not just, okay, as it were, a one-man show, whereby you are studying by correspondence and then writing the exams. By getting together in a group and exchanging ideas and what you've learned, this wonderful cross-pollination, as it were, of ideas, it's very enriching and it's very, very fulfilling. And that's what it means really to come together and as saints and as the church. It means to be together to discuss God's word and to relate to each other.
Shelley, what would you say is the main message of the Bible? As you studied and mentioned that first module is primarily focusing on an overview sort of the Bible, what would you say was the main message?
Well, it's God's relationship with his saints. It's all relational. You know, in Genesis, that beautiful relationship, Adam and Eve, I mean, what a beautiful relationship, husband and wife, but it was destroyed through the devil. They had a beautiful relationship with the Lord. The Lord was speaking with them and interacting with them daily, but then it is through sin that they transgressed that relationship and broke. And it's kind of, again, the broken systems. But God's word is always faithful. So where Adam and Eve weren't faithful, God's faithful. And we can see that in the lives of the Israelites. God chose this people, not because there was anything special about them, but because it was God's love. It was out of his desire. It was his prerogative to choose a people for himself, as he has done with all believers. He has the right to choose his people, and he's done so. And that relation, it's all about a relationship with him. It's the Bible is about restoring that relationship. And the ultimate restoration is in Jesus. God came incarnate. He sent his son to die for our sins. That relationship with God might be restored. So we have that beautiful relationship with that God intended right from the beginning, through Jesus who died on the cross for our sins to restore that broken relationship, to restore the wrath that we had incurred through our sin. So it's all about relationships and what a blessing that we can have being in relationship with our Redeemer. And although it is not perfect because we live in a sinful world, it is nevertheless, it is beautiful in Christ, and it will be perfect in the new heaven and the new earth and when we are in with Jesus through eternity. But nevertheless, as I said, not perfect, but certainly we have the relationship through Christ's doing on the cross.
Shelley, so having walked with God now, since obviously you were 12, you had your commitment to Christ, and then there was sort of a revival that took place in your heart as you were doing Explore. But now having walked with God after that, how would you say, do you keep your heart soft to that relationship with God? Have you experienced any trials in the way of the world, you know, maybe trying to distract you again from that relationship? And how do you practically deal with that?
Oh, gosh, there's always going to be trials. We live in a really, we live in a broken world. There are daily trials. Mm. And, God never says we won't have trials. He says we're going to have trials on a daily basis. That's throughout Scripture. So he never gives us this false hope, this false picture of, mm-hmm. of us living through one straight plain sailing. You know, it's not going to be like that. But he's with us. That's what he promises us, that he will be with us in those trials, in those difficulties, in those times that we feel that maybe he's forsaken us or maybe he's left us, but he nevertheless, he clings to us even faster and stronger. The Lord will never let us go, and he never gives us too much that we can't bear. He knows our frame, and this is what Scripture says, and we just need to really focus on the word, to come to the Lord in prayer on a daily basis. He's given us the Lord's Prayer. It's a beautiful prayer that we should come on a daily basis with the Lord's Prayer, come to him with a broken spirit, a humble heart, ready to learn. On a daily basis, we need to kind of put on Christ and remember his meekness and his humility and his loneliness, because that's the kind of attitude he wants for all his followers. And that's how we remain pliable, when we come to him with that broken spirit, soft in the potter's hands, to make that beautiful vessel that he has purposed from eternity past through eternity future. And with that attitude, we come to the Lord, as I said, daily. It is not a once a week. It's certainly not a once a month or a couple of times a year. It's a daily relationshipable thing. It's a picture of a husband and wife as well. It's a daily relationship. It's not a once-off thing. And that's how we grow as a Christian. You know, God, if you think of the parable of the sower, I think that's just such a beautiful image as well, whereby the Lord conditions the soil and he ruffles the soil, and then the seed, when it is planted, it grows into that beautiful tree that survives on God daily. It draws water from God daily. It draws food and nourishment. So it's a daily thing, you know. A beautiful fruit-bearing tree doesn't draw from the soil once a week or once a month. That's a daily thing, because otherwise it's going to die. It's going to be choked by the world and all its trappings. So I still think that's a beautiful image, the parable of the sower, and what that means in the life of a Christian, because it is a daily walk. It's a daily growth, and we need to cling to the vine on a daily basis. Otherwise, yes, sure, we will be choked by the world and all its trappings. Mm.
Shelley, how have you found that your renewed relationship with God has impacted your relationship with the people around you?
Well, it's wonderful in that you have a different kind of perspective, in that, you know, the same love that the Lord has reached out to me, I have that love for others. It's kind of, we have such a fullness in Christ that there's an overflowing fullness that we are able to extend to others. And I love to share the word with others, because this is what God has purposed for all the saints. We know that is the great commission of Matthew 28, that we should go out into the world and preach the gospel. And I think, you know, not only does it give the Explore course gives you the actual tools, that's very important to preach the gospel and to share the gospel, but it gives you the desire as well. Mm. If you might have the tools, but unless you have the desire, those tools aren't really going to be put into action. Mm. So it gives, for me personally, it's given me the tools and the desire to go and share the word as God has purposed in the Great Commission for all believers.
Mm. Shelley, if I could ask, throughout studying God's word, what has been your favorite aspect of God's character to delve into and to really appropriate into your daily life?
The fact that God is our just loving Father who brings us through the good and the bad times. And I mentioned that scripture, and we know all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Good in God's perspective is so different from what good, you know, we think. We think unless we're living our best life now, unless we're doing this or that or experiencing this and that, then it's not good. But God has a very different and gives us a very different understanding of good. Good is being in relationship with our Lord, knowing that he is with us. He will never leave nor forsake us. Knowing that he has prepared all the good works for us now, and he's going to bring us through. He has sealed us through for eternity, until eternity. So on a daily basis, you know, it's so encouraging to know that I have a Father who's looking after me. He's looking out for me. And I just love that scripture. I don't have it on me, but the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, giving strong support to all those whose hearts are blameless towards him. I love that scripture. And blameless doesn't mean perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. As I said, we live in a fallen world. None of us are perfect. I mean, even the great Paul said, "Wretched man that I am." But nevertheless, we come to the Lord with a broken heart, a humble heart, and he's so ready to forgive us. And that's throughout the scriptures. The Lord is always ready to forgive us. And, you know, though we sin, he's nevertheless faithful, and his love is overflowing towards us. So it's so encouraging to know that we have a Father who loves us so deeply, so that shepherd who knows each of his sheep by name and who doesn't want any to go astray.
Shelley, as we come towards the end of our conversation, I've just been so encouraged to hear about the relational aspect of what God has been doing in your life, and to be able to hear through your tone of voice and your excitement to share God's word that it really is a love relationship, that you're serving him out of gratitude for what he's done for you, that what he's done for you has bubbled over into love in your heart, which you then share with the people around you. Could you tell us how this relationship with God has impacted your self-image, or we could call it your identity?
Wow. Yeah, because I don't really look at the whole self-image thing anymore, because I was very much after self-image. So I don't really... The self-image isn't as important as it was, actually. When I look at the past, Shelley, I just see somebody who's kind of vain and selfish and self-seeking, and God transformed my thinking. And I think as long as we focus on self, we are being deceived. I think the more we look to Christ, the more we look like Christ. And I think that's, God sees the heart. You know, the world sees outer appearance, which fades anyway, as we know. Anything can happen to the outside appearance. But God looks at the heart. And I think it's that aspect that has changed the most. It's not the outward, it's the inward. And it's all about the heart. And I think that's the image part is, yeah, you know, I want to be a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. You know, and all those things that he has purposed for me to be and do, that's what I want to do, what God has purposed. You know, not all the self-seeking and the vain thoughts maybe that I had before. That to me is of a lesser importance anyway than what God has purposed. You know, as the bride, he is the groom, we are the bride. And he loves the bride, and we are spotless. We are beautiful and spotless in his sight. And isn't that more important, to be beautiful and spotless as we grow to become more like him? And how we will be perfected until we are with him. When we are with him, we will be perfect, made perfect. But until then, he is our groom, and he will always be our groom, and that's beautiful in my eyes. yeah, it's a different perspective from what the world kind of lays out for people, isn't it? Mm. We live in a world of social media where the outside is so important, and vain thoughts and selfishness and vanity and self-seeking are so important. And they all lead to such despair and such disappointment, and no real eternal joy. But when we focus on the Lord and His purposes and being in relationship with Him, and you see the heart change, and that's important. That's become important, and that's where real joy in life can be found.
Mm. Yeah, it really resonates with the Word of God when we consider that we need to be beholding Him. And we know that as we behold Him, we will be transformed into His image. And it really is so important for us as the bride to be focused on the groom, because there's a lot of focus, even in a worldly way. The bride is always the center of the wedding here on earth. And we're always focused on what she's wearing, you know, and how she's done her hair. Whereas with our heavenly bridegroom, He Himself is so stunningly beautiful. Once we see Him for who He is, we don't even want to spare a thought to our own appearance. And it is through seeing Him that ultimately we start to reflect that beauty.
And His beauty is meek and humble. And what does the world say of His beauty? It certainly ain't meek, and it certainly ain't humble. So it's just a very different perspective, but it's a fulfilling perspective. It's joyful, and it's joy overflowing. And I think it's wonderful. It's just wonderful to be in relationship with the Lord and having a new set of values, a new set of eyes, and a new heart that He gives the saints to love Him and to long to be with Him and to seek Him daily.
Shirley, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for sharing out of the overflow of what I see is a revival of your affection for God, you know, and just thank you for your willingness to share that with us. So if there are any of the listeners who would be interested in studying the Explore course for themselves, could you give us some information about where they can reach out to the to access Explore, and then also maybe some of the fees that are involved?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Larise. Well, as I said, it is a correspondence course that is offered by George Whitfield College. So they could go online and sign up there. Christchurch Umhlanga does offer the course. As I said, I am facilitating a group at the moment, so they could also reach out to Christchurch Umhlanga. So there's George Whitfield College online where they could enroll, and as I mentioned, Christchurch Umhlanga. With regards to fees, there's a minimal fee per module. It does vary. If there's a bulk, there could be a bulk fee, for example, paid. If there is a group of students who are enrolling at the same time, then those fees would be reduced slightly. I think it's 500 or so rand for the module, and normally the module is per term. In situations whereby the person is not able to afford it, I know there might be a discount. So there are possibilities whereby those who don't have the funds can nevertheless have the opportunity to enroll in this wonderful course. So, yeah, George Whitfield College is the option online. And otherwise, as I said, you could reach out to Christchurch Umhlanga for more details.
Well, I hope that you were encouraged and equipped by our conversation today. Thank you so much for joining Shirley Waters and myself for Woman Today. For more good news, you can head on over to our website, that's gncr.org.za, and I am available as Larise Faree on either Facebook or Instagram. So please feel free to reach out to me on either of those platforms, and I will see you again. Thank you for your time. Bye.